Welcome back to the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right, it is time for Studio 435, our weekly showcase of the best live music Chicago has to offer right here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. My guest tonight, Jason Narduzzi and Split Single. Narduzzi plays music in several rock bands, including with Bob Mould and Superchunk. Split Single is his solo project, and he's got a new album out called Metal Frames. Jason Narduzzi has the sexiest elbows in the industry, and he's in studio tonight alongside singer Jennifer Hall, and here they are with the track Glory. Take it away, guys.
Glory wants her life right, but she can't resist the fight. These knives are sharp and clay. There was someone she knew who was magnets to her moon, till she scorched the earth's ceiling. Trembling harmonies, it charges on repair. Look at our past side by side, so little lies could hide. True maggot rivalries. Look what the devil has drawn from you.
Jason Narduzzi, Split Single in studio, along with Jennifer Hall. The new album is Metal Frames. Jason Narduzzi returns to the download. This is the second time through, first time performing. And come on up to the microphone. We'll talk a little bit before we go to break. Jason, of course, plays with bands like Bob Mould and Superchunk, other bands like that. Good to see you. Thanks for coming back. We appreciate it.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you perform like that. It's interesting because last time we talked, we'd kind of gone through all your music, and it was fun to think back to, you know, even the stuff you were doing with Verbo and all the other stuff. But Split Single was kind of, we referenced it. We didn't talk a lot about it.
Yeah.
Talk about this as sort of your go-to solo project.
Well, it's, it's such an honor for me to play with Bob Mould and Superchunk. And in those bands, I'm playing a supporting role. I'm a band member, a band guy.
Yeah.
And I love it. I get to play bass and sing backup vocals, and I love both bands. And I mean, Bob Mould is like, I grew up on his music with Husker Du and his solo stuff. And there's that. And then there's, you know, I'm a singer-songwriter myself. I started as a young little guy.
Little guy. We talked about that last time.
We did talk about that.
Were you 10 or younger?
I was 10, yeah. And so I wanted to do it again. I mean, I felt like I had a band in the 90s called Verbo, and we did a couple records for Epic, and we were really fortunate to be during, you know, making rock music during that time when people bought records and there were budgets and there, you know, we got to do some really the stuff you dreamed about when you were a kid. And then But that second record was tough for me. I think I'd done three records in a row, and I didn't get received very well, and so I was sort of, my confidence was low. And I wasn't writing songs so much anymore, but enjoying the role of being a, you know, a support guy, band guy. And then in 2012, Steve Dawson from the band Dolly Varden here in Chicago asked me to play at Shuba's with him just to open up. And I agreed to do it, and I just had this moment where I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to write all new songs. And that's how Split Single started.
Now, I mean, are you playing all the parts on this record?
No. The bass is played by Chicago and John Stirrett from Wilco, and the drums are played by John Worster, who's in the Bob Mould band with me and Superjunk, and he plays with the Mountain Goats and many other people. And I had Nora O'Connor sing a bunch of backing vocals. Yeah. Steve Dawson is on a couple tracks.
You know, it's just amazing because the names you throw out are, you know, they're such a great, I mean, these are great musicians that you're playing with. And what I really love about, you know, since we talked, and this was probably a year ago, but what I loved is I've been following you on Instagram and pops up, and here you are playing with Bob Mould, and here you are at this festival, and here you are living this life. It's like, but it is, there's something about the fact that you know, it's not just one musician. There's a community of musicians. It seems like you guys help each other out on all your projects.
I think that I've been fortunate to have connections with certain people, you know, personal connections. I wouldn't say that musicians all help each other out. But I think Split Single is a nice vehicle for me because I do get to write the songs and sing them. But then there are times when Friday night I went, or Saturday night, two nights ago, I went to see Tommy Stinson at Cobra Lounge. My friend Steve Selvage plays guitar in his band. Steve's also in the Hold Steady. And we were talking about this, how we have these, you know, close friendships of guys who are in other bands. And it's cool. Sometimes we get to play music together. And there was this pause. And he goes, man, just so you know, if you ever need some help with Split Single, I was like, are you going to be at South by Southwest in March? He goes, yeah. I go, cool, we're on.
That's how it works. I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, yeah.
But it is interesting because, I mean, as a world of musicians, especially when you even mention it yourself, I mean, a friend said, hey, do you want to open up at Shuba's? You
know, yeah.
I mean, there is this sort of like this world in which you, when you're traveling the way you travel, and the way that you're playing with bands like Bob Mould or Superchunk, I mean, you are, there are two opening acts and there are friends. And I mean, you are developing a network of some
festivals.
Of the best in indie rock.
Well, the festivals too, because there's just so many bands on those bills. But I'm just very fortunate. And thankfully, my family is patient with me in adding a third band to the.
Are you the kind of musician though at the festivals you get your dressing room and you're like, I'm out, man, don't talk to me. This is where I'm at, like the Sebastian Bach memoirs that I've been reading, or are you the kind of guy who floats around and creates
social.
New relationships?
I'm pretty social, but I can get quiet or private, you know. But I like to see music, and I'm invigorated by a lot of the newer acts out, and. I like discovering new music, new bands. So the festivals are a great way to do that.
Yeah, Jason Narduzzi in studio with me tonight. His solo project, Split Single, is out now. Metal Frames is the record. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get some more live music here in Studio 435 with Jason Narduzzi.
Thank you.
Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN, Studio 435, our weekly showcase of the best live music Chicago has to offer, right here on beautiful Michigan Avenue. Jason Narduzzi in studio. Split Single is his project. His record is called Metal Frames. He's performing live today. Jennifer Hall also in as well, accompanying Jason. You know, Jason, we're talking. It's so interesting because, you know, Chicago has such a robust music scene. And I always think of like bands like the bands you play with. They're not Chicago bands. We kind of talked about this before that, I mean, yeah. It is interesting that there is such a connection to a lot of the bands that don't call Chicago home to this area because of the musicians that play with them, or just the fact that this is a town that has a lot, is a place for artists to live.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago is Bob Mould's strongest city as far as ticket sales and record sales. So
really?
There's that connection. But yeah, Chicago. I mean, I love Chicago. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here.
You know, as you play, like, with a split single, like, where would you want to play? If you could have any place you want to play in Chicago, where would be the place that you're like, okay, this is where I want to have my record release party or whatever it is?
Number one would be WGN Radio.
Yeah, sure.
Number two, I mean, we've been really fortunate. We played Pritzker Pavilion, Millennium Park. We opened up for Wilco at the Riv. We played Metro a bunch. I love Shuba's. I love Space in Evanston. There's so many great venues.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I could answer
do
that.
Let me, you know, to get us out of the sort of diplomatic problem that we're in here, let's talk about other cities. You know, as you tour the country, yeah, and you continue to go to the same cities in your career, and you've played with so many different bands, are there some places where they'd be like, hey, we're playing the Fillmore tonight, and you're like, no, I can't stand the sound of that place, I don't like the smell of it. Like, are there places?
The Fillmore's great.
Whatever the film, not the Fillmore, but, you know, just certain places.
Yeah, there's like, I mean, we won't name names, but there's definitely a couple that you come across. Well, you know, one that got much better, the Paradise in Boston has been there for a very long time. I mean, I play there with Bob, but Husker Du used to play there in the 80s. And they just didn't have a bathroom backstage, which is the worst. I mean, it's just, now I sound like such a diva, but
no, I think a bathroom, I mean,
you really have to
pee,
and then it's like you can't, there's nowhere to go. So they changed that. So now the Paradise is much more comfortable.
As you guys, you know, Bob Mould and even Supertrunk to an extent, I mean, do you get the sort of a better experience as you guys get older and there's just more famous in the way that you're coming around? I mean,
well, Bob's on fire right now. I mean, his last three records have just done so well. And so we're really fortunate. I mean, we get to play really fun.
But is it changed from the idea of playing, you know, or sleeping in the back of vans, yes, to now you guys are living a more adult lifestyle as you tour
me,
the world.
Bob told me Husker Du once played 17 shows in 14 days. So yeah, we're not doing that. There's hotel rooms, there's a crew,
How often are you on the road?
That's a good question. A lot of people think I'm touring all the time. In 2013, both Bob and Superchunk were on album cycles. So I went to Europe three times, Australia twice, many times in the U.S. But at the end of the year, my wife and I added up the days I was out of town for the whole calendar year. And it was 27% of the time. And that's, I have friends that have jobs that take them out of town 50, 60% of the time. So both bands are really smart about how they tour. They'll go out for 10 days, come home. 2 weeks, come home. Weekend, you know, it's...
You have to think about that, you know, especially when you have families and you get older. You can't just sort of like keep going. And I mean, there seems to be some smarts that are added.
It's also just not interested in doing that. We could play a lot of shows, but I don't know. We don't want to. Let me tell you, when no one's raising their hand going, you know, but I want to play such and such town for the, you know.
Yeah, but I would think that there probably are. I mean, you get the young band that's out there. That's some of the bands that have, yeah, been here in Studio 435. They died to play the places that you play with Bob, where you play just a split single. I mean, where they're
sure,
like, I want to do that.
Yeah, they haven't done it yet. And then you do it, and then you, I don't know. Sometimes we get, like just last fall, we played some smaller markets with the Bob Mould Band because we had some festivals on either end of a weekend. So in the middle, we played... I think we played, now I'm going to get in trouble. Well, it was somewhere in Iowa, maybe Des Moines or something. But yeah, it was Des Moines. And, you know, we just never play there. And so it was cool to play there. People were excited to see Bob. And
Do you find yourself, do you still get jacked up to play?
Every night.
On yeah, stage? I mean, something.
I'm jacked up right now. Just, I mean, not only to see you. Can I call you Juice?
You can call. I would love it. Oh, okay. My God. I've been trying to get that nickname for a good 15 years.
I'm Jack
because
I'm in the room with Juice.
Yeah, there we go. See? More for the movie Juice with Tupac than OJ. You know, like, that's more what I was looking for. But, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take Juice.
Well, Jennifer and I parked downstairs, and I'm carrying the amp and the guitar, and she was asking about travel, and we're going up these stairs right here, and I'm getting tired and more tired. And I'm like, I must just love doing this because I just don't stop. It just doesn't matter what's going on. But yeah, it's true. I mean, I've toured with people who don't like it, and it's not for everybody. It's not only Jennifer and I were talking about this. Not only does it have the hurry up and wait cycle over and over and over, But you're also vulnerable in a weird way. You know, you even with someone like Bob Mould, we taped a Carson Daly TV thing, and what they do for that show is you play in a venue and they come and record it. Well, we couldn't play an LA venue because we were playing in LA in 3 weeks, so we couldn't book a show.
Because the radius clause.
So we had to fake a show in a way, and we were told that there would be 100 or 200 people in the room just to make it look, you know. Well, that didn't happen, and I don't know what fell through the cracks, but we walk out there to do 8 songs, and all we see is concrete in front of us. And that's what I mean by that vulnerability. You just go, well, here we are. Turn it up. Go. Do it. You know, you can't sit there and, like, whine about it, you know. So, it does take a certain – I've toured with people that just hate it. And I'm fortunate, I guess, that, you know, in Chicago, my parents divorced when I was young, and I lived in 14 different apartment buildings growing up. And I think that mentality helps me with the touring.
And the vulnerability, there is something there, the idea that, you know, you kind of look inward to the band members and say, we're going to play our stuff. I don't care
play
who's in
the
audience.
And have a sense of humor about it. You know, like, we got back to the dressing room and Bob shut the door and he goes, what are they going to CGI the crowd?
And they probably
and
did.
We all fell over. We were laughing so hard.
I mean, that's part. I mean, I think you've probably experienced that in real ways, not sort of TV ways, where there's been less people in the audience than you thought there would be. That's probably I would say that's less of an issue now as you tour with the bands and things of that nature. But, you know, talk about that relationship with the audience, because do you still get, you know, peek through the curtain, see how many people showed up at a show and things of that?
I try not to think about that. I mean, you know, in the 90s, I had a band called Verbo, and the first record came out in 97, and the very first tour we did was a 6-week tour with this band called Brad, which is a side project of Pearl Jam. And every show was sold out. So it was like Metro size venues, and Metro was one of them. For 6 weeks, every show sold out, and we're just like, oh, touring is great. You know, this is.
Well, I don't know why anyone doesn't
people like
this,
what we're doing. We're selling records, and then very next show. You know, it ended in Seattle, where they're from, and then the next show is in Boise because we're routing back home. And the only people in the audience were the other band and one guy at the end of the bar. And we got drunk, and our drummer took his shirt off and came up front. He just abandoned the drums and just came up and started singing lead vocal. I mean, we didn't phone it in. We gave up, you know, and turned into like a terrible circus band. The show ends, and Verbo had a cellist in the band named Allison Chesley, an amazing player who plays under the name Helen Money now. And we took pride in the fact that we were this rock band that had a cellist in the band. And we get off stage, and that guy at the end of the bar walks all the way over and goes, hi, I forget his name. I'm John, the cellist, and built the spill. And we just about fell over. We're just like, we just blew that. We just had this show where we could have impressed the one cellist in rock that we look up to. It was a learning lesson.
That's
you know?
A great
it was like,
lesson.
Yeah, it was like, don't take any gig for granted. You know, you hear those stories about like the first Police tour and there was 15 people in the crowd. Well, they played like there was 15,000 people. And then you lose yourself in the music, and it's not hard. It's not a hard job, I don't think. It's the best third job I've ever had. Let's put it that way.
Jason Narduzzi in studio, split single, his project, the album Metal Frames. We'll take a quick break for the news. We'll come back and we'll get some live music from Jason Narduzzi and Jennifer Hall, who's in studio here on Studio 435 on The Download. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. Time for Studio 435. We continue our weekly showcase of the best live music Chicago has to offer right here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Jason Narduzzi, split single in studio. The new album is called Metal Frames. Jason Narduzzi is accompanied by Jennifer Hall, singer Jennifer Hall. And here they are with the track Blank Ribbons. Take it away, guys.
Charms of pain, false requiems, plastic trophies and blank ribbons, seduced again, now for the first time. Uniforms of fake bravery, authority and from nothing, a threat of steel, so you won't feel. Shirts will fall from the sky, celebrity will feed the eyes, seduced again, now for the first time. Shiny rims, empty souls, toxic faith leak bullet holes. There's no time, there's no time.
Jason Narducci split single along with Jennifer Hall in studio. The album is called Metal Frames. That track was Blank Ribbons. Jason Narducci is going to be playing up at Shuba's on April 22nd, a little further down the line. But he will be there. Split single will be there. Do you find yourself...
There's still tickets.
There's still tickets available?
There's still... Last time I checked, which was just earlier today, that the venue said all the tickets are available.
Right.
All of them.
That's good. That's good. That's strong. That just means that they're anticipating, but they are also giving you space.
She said she was going to buy a ticket.
What are you going to do? Maybe it's a ticketing system. Maybe it goes down. You know,
it's
technology. Always blame technology, right?
Give mom another day.
I'm interested in your career because you this record. It's interesting to think about Verbo. Even when you were younger, you were playing punk music. You were playing, you know, sort of Cubby Bear. You were a young kid. You then moved into sort of the alt-rock thing. You play in other people's bands and support. What's the influence for this music? I mean, you have such a – it's a melodic sort of – I don't know. It's really, in a great way, a softer version of what I've heard your career, some of the stuff from before. Mm-hmm. Talk about how this project and this music has evolved for you.
I think the influences are still the same. You know, this album has a little bit more of some punk rock influenced stuff, not the songs we're playing right now, but there's a song called White Smoke that's got a little piss and vinegar to it. Can I say vinegar on radio?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
You know, like there's a song called Untry Love, which is to me just sounds like Cheap Trick, you know, not as good, but very influenced by Cheap Trick.
Do you find yourself going back to the same influences that you sort of, you know, were at your impressionable age?
I think it's all over the place. Sometimes I'll hear a song by a band that I've never heard that I like the rhythm to it, and I'll get my phone out and just sing that drum beat into my phone and that'll turn into something. Or sometimes I'll just be just in the basement and messing around with chords and something happens. In fact, the song we're going to play next, if you'll allow us, if we pass the audition, was me messing around with a weird guitar pedal that just kind of made a guitar chord just extend out. It's called a compressor. It just makes the chord go forever. And that inspired the song Leave My Mind that we're going to play. But, Yeah, it just sort of varies. That's a good question. I know Bob Mould has a collection of 45s from when he was a kid. His dad owned a grocery store, and there was a jukebox in the grocery store, and he would give Bob all the 45s that he could find, and Bob still has those.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when he gets into a songwriting rut, he's told me that
he goes back.
Yeah, he gets those out.
What do you go back if you go in a songwriting rut? What are
they going to do a rut?
Yeah, is it the kind of music like Cheap Trick or some of the stuff
sure.
that from the early?
Yeah,
like,
or even like, I mean, right now I'm listening to this Milwaukee band called Midnight Reruns that I think are just great. They're just, you know, they're like 23 years old and they're hot, man. It's a hot rock band that just makes sense to me. And so sometimes I'll hear that and go, that's a cool riff. You know, what if I did something like, you know, my version of that, and what would that turn into? So it's really all over the place.
Jason Narduzzi is my guest tonight, Studio 435. He's going to play some more music before we close up here. But I'm interested. I think we talked about this last time too, but this idea of musicians want to be comedians want to be rock stars. I mean, it's all intertwined. I mean, you play with John Worster, who very funny guy, yeah. Writer on a lot of great stuff. And you've, you know, with the sexiest elbows, I kind of made a joke at the top. You got the sexiest elbows in the industry, but you put out a web series that has a really sort of talking about, you know, the idea of you having the sexiest elbows, and you get great cameos from other musicians and actors and comedians. Where does that come from? I mean, are you always sort of reaching to do more sort of artistic projects outside of music?
Well, that whole thing came about because there was a benefit at Second City that Steve Albini and his wife Heather put together, Letters to Santa.
Yeah, right. Every year, right?
Yeah, it's an incredible thing. And that, I think it was 3 years ago I was there, and Fred Armisen was there, and we had met a few times before, and he just came up to me and said, I think your posts on Instagram are really funny, which is so sweet of him to say. He doesn't have to say that.
Yeah, right.
And of course, when somebody that you admire their work, you like run back and go like, "Well, what is he talking about?"
I got to look back.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
What
which
have
ones?
I been doing?
Yeah. And it happened to be the one where I found this old press photo where I look like I'm lifting my sleeves up, and I just wrote a silly caption that I had a manager that felt like I had the sexiest elbows in rock music, and I had to show my elbows in all the press photos. So I reached out to Fred and I said, "Well," because I love his character, Ian Rubbish, which is a British punk rocker
so
who loves
good.
The Queen.
Yeah.
And I said, would Ian Rubbish have any interest in making comments about the sexiest elbows in rock music? And he did. And then I asked a bunch of other people. So the first one came together really quick. And then the more recent two that we filmed, which I shot with The Onion, which they were great to work with. I pitched them on the idea, and they were incredibly helpful. Leo Garcia and Josh Modell and Rick Hammond and all those guys over there. And that was this one was more of a drawn out storyline thing, like
yeah,
day
great.
In the life
yeah.
type thing.
Well, I mean, there's cameos from Michael Shannon and Jeff Tweedy and Fred Armisen and all these great actors and musicians who play in. But the way it works is you, man. The way that you just sort of accept the reality that you have sexy elbows. But, you know, you want to move on. You're more than just your elbows. That's kind of the beauty of the web series.
I will be a guest on your show anytime you want, Justin. You just keep saying things
bring,
like that.
Bring the elbows. You got to bring the elbows.
Yeah. Please keep saying stuff like that.
But where can we find that? I mean, where's the home for that? Just YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Just put in sexy elbows.
Yeah, you're not going to believe this, but if you type in sexiest elbows in the YouTube, nothing else comes up.
Nothing. That's going to change.
I mean, I think what happened with that is that it's such an absurd idea that when I would ask, you know, like Dave Grohl and all these people to do it, they're just like, tell me one more time what this is. And I tell them, and they're like, yeah, let's do it. It's sort of fun. You know,
is it the kind of thing where you just have to steal a half hour of their time?
5 minutes.
Right?
Half hour with some of those people is like.
But I know it. I mean, I've done web series like that too, where you like, you get somebody's time. You're like, here's the bit. We're going to do it.
Whenever you can do it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, for like with Frank Black in one of them, I auditioned for the Pixies. I got a hold of him and I drove straight to his workspace. You know, I was like, I will take 3 minutes of your time. Unfortunately, we've toured together before and, you know, we ended up having lunch and stuff, but I just didn't want to put him in any situation. You know, with Jeff Tweedy, we went straight to the Wilco recording loft, and I just try to, you know, make it as easy as possible for them. And fortunately, I mean, everybody's so great in it. They're just
so
funny.
It's so funny.
You mentioned Todd Barry. He's hilarious.
Todd Barry's great.
Dave Hill is incredible. Everybody, it's a lot of fun. And it's nice for me to, I mean, you asked where it comes from. You know, when you're touring, you have a lot of downtime. And so you know, you see weird things and you just sort of like go, what's going on?
Do you have more in you? Are you going to do more episodes?
Well, it's funny you ask, Justin. I love this show. I posted something on Instagram last February before a Bob Mould tour that I was practicing what I was going to do in between the songs. So it's me like toweling off and adjusting the knobs on the amp. So we just shot a new video, a new split single video for that song, Untry Love. And the whole premise is that the band is arguing about what we do.
What you do in between
the songs.
That's so great.
And so that should come out soon.
All right, good. We'll look forward. Yeah. Jason Narduzzi in studio, split singles, album, Metal Frames. We'll have one more song from Jason and Jennifer in studio here on Studio 435 on the download right after the break. Stay with us. All right, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Studio 435. On Now, weekly showcase of best live music in Chicago. Here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, my guest tonight, Jason Narduzzi and Split Single. Narduzzi plays music several rock bands, including Bob Mould and Superchunk. This is his solo project. He's got a new album out called Metal Frames. He's in studio with Jennifer Hall. And here is another track, the last one tonight, Leave My Mind.
Black puddles shine and fade, reflecting back the light. Streets have emptied, everyone returns to their lives. My hands have hollowed, they won't settle down. Without a dream, they grasp for something that I've found. I must be lonely, I must be down. A final window, neon light flickers and dies. This town is silent, but I can't shut my eyes. No rest for broken, no rest for shame. No longer recognize the framework I had made. Why won't you leave me? Why won't you leave my mind? My mind.
Jason Narduzzi live in studio. Split Single is the name of the band, and also the album is called Metal Frames. That track was called Leave My Mind. It's playing at Shuba's April 22nd. Tickets still available for that one.
All of them.
All of them. For you, I mean, what is your schedule like in 2017 here? So you're working on Split Single, and obviously got the show at Shuba's. What about Bob Mould and Superchunk and all the other bands that you play with?
Yeah, it's all Split Single this year. There's no Bob Mould shows on the books. The possible one-off with Superchunk, but Split Single's doing a show in DeKalb in February, Milwaukee in February, West Coast in February. We're going to do South by Southwest in March down in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
In April, we're going out in the Midwest and East Coast with Kelly Deal from the Breeder has a band called R Ring. So there's a bunch of Split Single touring and videos and
I'm always fascinated, you know, as you get older with not only the Split Single stuff with Bob Mould or with Superchunk. I mean, these are small businesses, mm-hmm. these bands. Mm-hmm. There's not sort of like, hey, they offered us a gig in Champaign on Thursday, let's do it. That part of your life is over.
Not Champaign, no.
No, right. But I mean that part, I mean, there
well, we get offers for festivals. I mean, that's one of the last year I did a couple of shows with Superchunk in North Carolina. So, you know, we'll go do a couple of shows here and there.
You know, for you, is it more difficult to sort of to be available for those kind of one-off kind of shows? Like if a festival comes together just because not only your own solo project, but because of your life here in Chicago?
Sometimes there's a conflict of interest. You know, it's weird when you're a parent doing these things because you start to think about what are the most important holidays. And so all my bands know that the last 2 weeks of October, I don't play.
Because of Halloween?
That's number one, actually. Because you can't come home November 5th and get dressed up with the kids and walk down the block.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. And then my two youngest have birthdays at the end of October. So I have those 2 weeks where I just don't play. You know, honestly, the other ones I don't care. You know, Thanksgiving, I don't care about it. And not that I don't care, but I can be out of town for that. It's turkey and football. I can miss that.
For you, when you're working on your own work, Split Single, what's the end game? Is it the same kind of thing when you were playing with Verbo back in, is it the idea of fame and fortune, signing record labels? What is it when you're touring Split Single or you're sort of supporting a record?
I think just the joy of creating and connecting with people. You know, I think nowadays, it's probably important that I do shows, you know, and I like playing shows. I'm not going to tour all the time, but sometimes. And I think the videos that we make reach some people. I mean, honestly, I don't know if there is an end game. I just like playing rock music and writing songs and playing with friends. And, you know, it just hasn't changed. That's how sad this whole thing is. I was 10 years old and here I am. I'm going to turn 46 next month. And Justin, I'm doing the exact same thing.
Okay, last question, just about music in general. As music changes and
that got two downs.
No. Yeah, now I got to bring it back up. Patty Vasquez up next. We got to bring the energy back up. Jason killed it in the room. No, I'm interested because, you know, for you, you know, you've already talked about how important it is to be on stage and how you love to perform live music. Could you see yourself as a musician in a world where you just create music in a studio and you put out videos and you don't actually get on a stage and perform it?
I don't think about it. So I guess not. Sorry. Let me try and expand on that. All of a sudden I became the worst interview WG
has
ever
had. Yes, no.
No, I don't.
No.
I don't have like this... I'm incredibly deep desire to get on stage. I enjoy it, but it's more. I'm not like insatiable.
I mean, we'll play like a strange, you know, adaptation of Would You Rather. But you know, which would you prefer? I mean, if you could play on stage and in front of audiences, only record in a studio, or only do videos?
Ooh, I'd probably play live. There's nothing like that. You know, when there's people there. Tickets still available for Shuba's. I like that connection. I like sometimes I'll do solo shows and it'll be more storytelling and I do like that connection, and I like going to shows. I like seeing people perform and hearing new music, and it gives. I guess in that way, I'm pretty social. They say that that invigorates people who are mm-hmm. social. I do. I get inspired by that, and I feel like I'm living if I'm going out and seeing music a lot. You know, like last weekend, I saw Miles Nielsen at Space on Friday, and then Saturday I saw Mysteries of Life in Evanston, and then went and saw Tommy Stinson after that.
Wow,
and,
look at that.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt, you know, Sunday was like, yeah!
Jason Narduzzi in studio. He's our guest tonight, Studio 435. Split Singles, new album, Metal Frames, is out. You can see him April 22nd at Shubas. Jason, always a pleasure to have. Thanks so much for
it was a pleasure. It's a great time. Thank you.